are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
This is Reggie Hammond, and we are having our next episode of Connecting, a Contact Sport, hosted by none other than Mr. John Peoples. John, you ready to get started for today?
Absolutely. It is going to be exciting, and when you say connecting, we're really going to be talking about connecting the dots. I think that's going to be the phrase for today's call, Connecting the Dots. We have You like that?
I do. I like that, Connecting the Dots.
Connecting the dots. We have one of my childhood friends and mentors, Ron Rice. Went to high school with Ron, former All-State quarterback and free safety in high school, former All-American in college at Eastern Michigan University, and seven seasons in the NFL with the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
It's going to be an exciting call. It's right up my alley. Being a lover of football and professional football, and he's a hometown guy from Detroit, Michigan. That makes it even more exciting. So, just welcome Ron Rice.
This should be good stuff. Hey, Ron.
It would.
Well, hey, fellas, I appreciate you all having me. Reggie and John, thanks for the opportunity. But, John, I don't know how much I got to pay you for bigging me up like that. Those accolades that you gave me were far beyond what I actually exceeded.
He does that a lot, him bigging people up, and that's part of his stick, right? He builds you up and then he asks you to do something.
Exactly. That means I'm gonna ask you for something, right?
Hey man, I'm a roll with it. If you wanna put in all pro bowler, you can put all that on it.
No, but really, Ron has just through the time I've known him, and that's been more than half of my life now. He's just always been an incredible guy. Not just as an athlete, he was a scholar athlete to the word, and just someone who I've always looked up to, and still do continuously, and just really enjoyed watching him grow as an athlete, and then as a person, and just really seeing what he's been able to do at life after football. And one of the things we hear about so many athletes, especially former football players, is not prepared to enter the world after football, which we know is such a fleeting moment. So to see what Ron has done and is doing has just been exciting. So, Ron, I'm just going to ask you to tell us a little bit about you coming out of high school and going to college, and how did you make it to the league? I mean, that's something most young men dream about, and you did it. Can you tell us a little bit about how did you get there? How did you persevere to get there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it all started off very much like, you know, many males growing up young and watching television and having childhood idols and, you know, watching Sunday football and watching Ronnie Lott and Tony Dorsett and those guys, and thinking to myself that, man, maybe one day, you know, I could do that. And I kind of fell in love with football at an early age. I had to be 8 or 9 years old after the games would kind of go off on Sundays as I'm watching them in my bedroom, you know, right after the 1 o'clock Lions game or the 4 o'clock game. If it wasn't too late at 7, I would go outside and throw the ball around with some of the fellas in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And, you know, we would always pretend to be our favorite player. Much like a lot of the boys in the hood do, right?
Right.
And
right.
You know, it was just something that I really just loved football, you know. But my parents would always tell me that, you know, that's exactly what it was. It was a dream, and for all of those that made it, you know, they had to work hard at it. They had to really dedicate themselves and take care of their bodies, and you know, stay out of trouble for one. And I was able to do that, but you know, going to U of D Jesuit High School, John, as you know, in Detroit, you know, we weren't a football powerhouse. You know,
right.
we weren't sending, you know, kids out of there, Division One, you know, every year, or, you know, we weren't a breeding ground for that. And so I had an opportunity after winning a couple league championships and going to, you know, some not playoff games, but post league games and playing in the Silver Dome down in Pontiac, Michigan, to go up to Ypsilanti at Eastern Michigan, and I earned a scholarship there. And you know,
right.
It was kind of downhill from that. I kind of found it to be somewhat easy.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, it was just natural for me. And you know, I dedicated myself and I worked hard, and I ended up, you know, having a really outstanding career at Eastern Michigan and being inducted in the Hall of Fame there as well.
And congrats. I never officially told you congrats on being inducted into the Eastern Michigan Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. You know, a lot of outstanding athletes, men and women, and supporters of the organization that are in that hall. So it's very special to me. But, you know, going to Detroit after that as an undrafted free agent, and which was kind of disappointing for me, because I thought I was going to be a draft pick coming out of college.
And Ryan, I just add to that before you even say that, you were at one time, you led the NCAA, if I'm correct, in kick return yards.
That's correct. I led the country up until like the last game of the season, my redshirt freshman year. Of which I finished behind, well,
wow.
Desmond Howard, who was the Heisman, behind me. And so Des and I were all teammates in Detroit, so I was always telling him that I was better than him, right? Which, you
right,
know, you know,
right.
we just joking. He won the Heisman Trophy. Come on now.
Right.
But, that's
hard to do. I mean, you know, what that tells me is, or, you know, beyond just the speed, you know what I mean, and the speed kills, but your ability to see the field, I would imagine that has that whole ability to see the big picture in front of you and, you know, respond and react to what's happening on the field, you know, I would imagine that translated or transferred into your business role or your bigger, you know, kind of pursuit of purpose in the work that you're doing. Have you seen that show up as well?
Well, Reggie, I would have to say this. I had some great teammates that led the way, and a great scheme in front of me that really allowed me to be successful and help the team win.
Right.
So that's really what that was. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and say I was the fastest, I was the quickest, I had best vision. But we went in with one heck of a game plan on how to return kicks for positive yardage. And so
right.
To your point, yes, that definitely translates into anything that you are looking to do or can do in business. And that's all about preparation.
That's awesome.
Right. And with that preparation, you started to talk about how – you get the accolades, All-American, did extremely well all through your senior, up until your senior year and after senior year at Eastern. And I'm sure you pretty much were telling yourself, hey, I should be getting drafted to somebody. 1 through 7 rounds, I should be getting drafted. And then not to get drafted, I know that had to be disappointing. You're kind of leading with that.
Oh yeah, I mean it was big for me not to get drafted. I wasn't all American, I was all conference. But coming out, I was either fourth or fifth ranked safety in the country, and that's out of all the schools in America. But I ended up being a free agent, and so when I had the opportunity to sign with Detroit, it was a no-brainer for me. Growing up, that being my favorite team, and having the opportunity to stay home and my parents can watch me play. And so just being in that situation, I always had a chip on my shoulder, and I always felt that I was better than how I came in. And I think I kind of showed that over the course of time, and I became a starter and started for 5 before I injured my neck. But, you know, it didn't end the way I wanted to, but that also goes to, you know, one of the reasons why we're on this podcast, saying that you never know when the end is going to come. And
Exactly.
Yeah.
They say the NFL stands for not for long, right?
Not for long. Not for long. I had a career-ending injury in 2001 playing against the and I came in 95 playing against the Arizona Cardinals. I had a helmet-to-helmet collision with the tight end that rendered me paralyzed, and I had some really bad issues after that with my body and my spinal cord and my neck and my back. And I still have some issues today, and that's why a lot of these guys, you go in and get as much as you can, because you never know what's going to happen. But still, you need to have that plan in place because, again, you can be in 1 year, you can be in 10 years. But just like that, it can be taken away from you.
Wow. Wow.
And that's something, and like you said, we say NFL, we look at the guys on TV, and we hear and we see the stars, some of those players who have had a chance to have a lot of tenure and success. But there's about 1,800 to 2,000 guys in the NFL each year, and the average lifespan or career span is 3 years. So there are a lot more players who quickly become former players than there are that stay in the league. And you mentioned the whole preparation. So talk a little bit about once that time came, how you had to transition. I mean, I'm sure, one, you're shocked, like, here's the end, you know, because we never really think about when that's going to happen. But then it happens, and now you have to prepare for life after football.
Right. And to be honest with you, fellas, I mean, I fought it. You know, I couldn't really believe that that was it. I couldn't believe that it was taken from me, you know, so quickly.
Wow.
And, you know, I tried to stick it out. I saw a number of doctors. I went to, you know, my last visit with another team was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And at the time, the general manager was Kevin Colbert, who's still there today. And he was instrumental in bringing me into Detroit as a free agent in 1995. You know, he kind of looked at my medical history and talked to the doctors and the trainers who did an evaluation of me, and he told me, he said, man, you had a really nice career, and we just think it's just too risky and we can't do it. And in the National Football League, just like anywhere in the world, good news or bad news or whatever it is, it travels fast, and so that went across the league that, you know, I failed the physical. And so that was it for me. And so now I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, what's next? What am I going to do next? And then you talk about your network. And, you know, I thought maybe I could kind of sit out a year and get in shape. And it just wasn't working for me, though. So then I got into some other things, and I kind of called up some of my friends, some of my mentors. You know, I had the pleasure of engaging in media from a television and a radio aspect throughout the course of my football career. And so I had buddies at, you know, Fox and CBS and, you know, all of those news stations and outlets locally in Detroit. And so one of my mentors is, as you all may know, is Rob Parker. You may know him from FS1.
Yep.
So Rob and I, early on in the early 2000s, we had a sports program called Sports Wrap, in which we were on a number of local outlets in Detroit, and we also did radio. And so I kind of caught the fever, so to speak, through Rob.
I remember that show too, and used to look forward to it each week.
Yeah, we had fun. We had a lot of rappers on there. I mean, you know, it was cool. But, you know, still to this day, you know, that I still do that. And so I do opportunities throughout the country. I mean, I've done ESPN Toledo. There's a show out in Chapel Hill where I am that we do during the football season. And so that's fun. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy talking about football and, you know, and athletes and the business of it, you know, all the good, the bad, the ugly. But that was just one way that I was able to advance, you know, my personal development and career development and stay current and relevant in sports. And it was through my connections with Rob, amongst other people. But Rob was really a big influence on me when it comes to media, even though I hated him when I first met him when I was
right,
a player.
Right.
Because he was just doing his job and being honest about the team. We didn't get off on the right foot. But definitely just going back and kind of tapping into, you know, your resources, you know, people that you grew up with, a lot of the connections that you've made along the way, you know, when you transition out of a game like, you know, football or even basketball, you know, a lot of things are right in front of you, right? But oftentimes you just have tunnel vision and you want to be singular. You want to have one focus and that's on the game.
Right.
But there are so many other opportunities, again, that are right at your fingertips, but you just don't see it until you have more time or something like that happens to you.
Yeah, I would love it if we could stay there for a second and you know, really both of you, because I suspect that both of you are impeccably gifted at connections and making them and engaging them and maintaining them over the years. So gifted that you may even take them for granted. But what I think many of the listeners for this podcast are listening for is, you know, how can they be more intentional like you have been to be able to take, you know, connections that you make, whether they are intentional or whether they are, you know, somewhat spontaneous or happen just sporadically, like share some of your own experiences and what has worked well for you over the years to be able to take those connections and have them, you know, kind of produce, you know, great outcomes or, you know, create segues into the other pursuits that you take on in life.
So I'll just add something in. One of the things that Ryan mentioned was a lot of times when we get into particular endeavors or careers, we start to have a singular focus or singular vision. And one of the things that's important is how do you go from having a singular focus to a broad vision, right? So it means that even though there's a specific goal we're looking to achieve, we still need to, kind of using another football term, have our head on the swivel, right? So Ryan has done a great job throughout, you know, his football career and prior to that is head on a swivel, meaning he was always looking at what could be next or what opportunities or even the teammates that he had at that time, you know, what could they do later? So can you talk a little bit about that, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll talk about another a relationship that I had from, you know, the late 1990s up until today that's completely relevant in some of the things that we do relative to social responsibility. And what I mean by social responsibility, I think we all have a duty to give back, right?
Absolutely.
Whether you're in a position of influence, you know, you can be, you know, a titan like a Jay-Z, or you can just be, you know, the guy walking down the street. I think we all have a role to play socially in trying to make this world a better place.
Right.
And so there's a company called the Sports Marketing Agency, in which I've done business development with them, in allowing them to enter the realm of sports, right? And specifically football, in being able to co-brand events with athletes or organizations, or allowing a lot of their corporate contacts access to athletes that kind of, you know, fall in line with their mission. And so we're talking about social responsibility when it comes to the opioid crisis. What are we doing? You know, drug addiction, what are we doing? What type of messages are we sending out to our youth, to our adults, in trying to curb the tide of addiction? You know, we have a program called a quarterback luncheon, in which we'll bring in youth, we'll bring in professionals, and we'll bring in corporations or organizations that would like to get in front of particular audiences and we see where everything meets and where everything meshes. And for example, we were down at the downtown Detroit a couple months ago with Todd Bridges. If you all remember Todd Bridges from Different
yep.
Strokes.
So remember Todd, him well. I grew up with him. It's
yeah.
not, it feels like anyway.
So and we were talking about drug addiction, right? And so we had a room of 300 people, and we had athletes there as well. George Bell, running back, former running back for the Lions, was our guest that day. But we had the opportunity to meet a lot of good people and tell stories, right, about how to overcome. And so the whole, you know, people look at athletes as a lot of times as being invincible. And Lord knows that we're not. You know, when you watch a football game on Sunday, you think, like, God, I mean, these people are, you know, they're gods a lot of times. And no, I mean, we have the same vulnerabilities as everyone else. And so we try to say that, you know, we're vulnerable, you know, but there's also a stigma that comes with vulnerability and drug addiction and mental illness and mental health and all of those things, because they're all wrapped up in one. And so we work with the sports marketing agency to go out and tell, we like to give people stories of encouragement, words of encouragement, and really being able to leverage our brands, names, ideas, and recognition to help these organizations kind of go forward with their mission. And it's more to it than that, but that's just the social responsibility of it. And I have my own foundation when I was playing. And so the city of Detroit and our youth and things like that, are, you know, I mean, they're the future. And so we have to just, you know, slow down at times and really think about where we want to be in the future. And we really have to kind of take a look back and embrace the community.
And that's really powerful. So after going to University of Detroit Jesuit High School, one of the things that we learn is about being a man or a woman for others. So it's really about what are you doing for your community? How can you bridge the gap? And you've always found ways to do that. And it definitely seems like the sports marketing agency is a venue that allows you to do that as well.
Yeah, no question.
So one of the things that I know that Ron has led after his playing days, he stayed tied to the game and was with the NFL Alumni Association.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, at one time you led the Detroit chapter of the NFL Alumni, and now in North Carolina doing the same. During those times and currently, how much have you seen where former players did not take advantage to maybe some of the opportunities that were there while they were playing, and then kind of come to you trying to figure it out, right? They're trying to figure out, like, what's next. Maybe they didn't build a good network. Maybe they didn't have any alliances or not with the right people, and now they're having to kind of play catch up or go backwards, so to speak. How much do you see of former players that are in that position?
Well, I mean, you know, I think the numbers really reflect, you know, where society stands with all of that. You know, you can cut on ESPN and you can watch a special called Broke, right? I think it was a 30 for 30. And I mean, you know, those numbers are relative to the numbers of, you know, the friends and family members that we all have that have filed for bankruptcy. You know, But there's a misconception here, and I'll kind of bring this back, but there's a misconception here that, you know, a lot of athletes, football players, are broke. That's just not true, right? Are there? Yes, absolutely. But it's no different than anyone else walking the street.
Right.
We also have to take into consideration that everybody didn't make $50 million.
Right.
You also have a number of players that were minimum salary players for 3 years, for 2 years, or whatever, then they file for bankruptcy. So they're not sitting on Brett Favre money. So the story is not as fantastic as, you know, as the Allen Iverson, you know, maybe some of his financial challenges, or Antoine Walker, who claims that he blew $100 million after his NBA career has settled. So, but you do have players, you know, and that's what the NFL alumni is about, is providing benefits, services, and resources for players and their families. And, you know, you have players that have fallen on hard times that will reach out, that are looking for, you know, maybe some health care. Maybe they have a hip that needs to be replaced, and so they can reach out and get those and get some health care services. But you also have a number of players that are doing great. And so the NFL alumni also likes to uplift and feature those players as well. Where are they now? What are they doing? This particular player is in Congress. This particular player is a lawyer or a doctor. So for all of those horror stories that are out there with players, you know, there are four or five stories of positivity and prosperity for players as well. But the NFL alumni has done a great job of creating that fraternity and that unit and that network for players to come back and, you know, and get complimentary services for their life, whether that be a discount at, you know, at the Hertz rental car, right? Or a concierge service at Henry Ford Health System, in which you can get expedited health care, you know, at no charge. And so we've been able to do some great things for former players and alumni.
So Ron, how did you get involved to be a part of the NFL alumni outside of, you know, just being a former player, actually leading and building at least the Detroit chapter? I mean, how did you transition to that? I'm sure that was, again, a part of building alliances and networks while you were playing.
Well, actually, I was a gentleman named Tom Nowotzki asked me to come to a meeting, and he said, "Ron, I would like you to come to this meeting." This is years ago, and he said, "I think."
And Tom was like a general manager or something with the Lions, right, or VP with the Lions.
No. Tom Nowotzki was the president of the NFL Alumni Detroit chapter, and he's also a board member of the national organization. And so he just asked me to come to the meeting, and he said, "You know, I think you'll be a great candidate to take this over." And, you know, when I was playing, I was a captain. I was a captain in high school. I was a captain in college. I was a captain in the pros. And so, and I don't necessarily think that was by chance. That was something that I wanted to do because I felt like that's how I was going to get the best out of myself by setting an example for others. And so, lo and behold, I was voted in by our members to be the president of the organization, and I went on to be a board member and chairman of the board for the organization as of recent as last year. And wow. So, you know, and I just think it's a great organization in terms of what they want to do. But, you know, one of the things is, you know, with the new money, you'll see these contracts now for NFL players in excess of $100 million. But prior to 1993, before all of this, the new CBAs and the television deals, guys weren't getting that. They weren't getting the 401ks and the annuities and all of that stuff just wasn't available. And so the collective bargaining agreement changed, and guys have a lot more resources. And so now you have continuing education, you have tuition matches, you have other professional development programs that guys can participate in during the off season. And, you know, back in 1995, when I came into the league, some of that was surfacing, but not like it is now. There are a lot of benefits and opportunities for current and former players to participate in to make that transition from on the field to off the field to a second career.
Wow, but that's really great. I mean, I'm proud of how, again, you took your leadership all the way from childhood through college, and just were able to carry that over after football, and just was really a natural segue for you. So, Ron, as people are going through career transition, and it doesn't have to be sports, but what would be some things that you would say are monikers that you would want to have or do or kind of give advice towards?
I would, the first off, you know, you got to help yourself. And what I mean by that is you got to educate yourself. So whatever the field is that you want to get into, you know, learn as much about it as you can and get a mentor. You know, and, you know, a lot of times, and I appreciate you acknowledging me as a mentor, John. I think you have a lot of talents yourself that, you know, people can really take advantage of. They really sit down and talk to you and get to know you. Very bright guy. But it's you know, I think there's a misconception about mentorship. And just because a guy is younger than you, that doesn't mean that he can't be your mentor. I have two mentors in real estate, and they're both younger than me, and they know more than me. They're more experienced than I am, and so, you know, they brought me along for the ride. You know, not as if I'm not bringing anything to the table, but I know how to position myself and stay in my lane. Right? Everyone has a role to play, so it's like a team. You got to play your part. And we've been able to do some really good things. I think you know Jason Jones.
That's
and George as well, George Barnes. Those two great guys. But everything that I try to do, I try to find someone that's smarter than me. And because like any successful venture, you know, if you're trying to build a house, it doesn't matter what you can't do it alone. And so, therefore, I try to get the right partners and the right mentors and educate myself.
Wow, that's huge. Yes, Jay Jones and George are doing some great things. We'll have to get them on the show as well.
But one of the things that
said, you got to help yourself, right?
That's right.
And then it's figuring out what is it that you want to do and learning as much about that as you can, and then start to position yourself. And the mentorship, I love what you said. You know, we think of mentors as this has to be somebody that's been doing something for so long and a lot older than us, but it doesn't have to. They could just be a subject matter expert that just knows more about you, knows more about a particular subject than you do.
Correct. And I really believe that. You know, I really believe that. I look at it like, you know, when you I hate talking to people and using the football analogy or the sports analogy, but you guys get it, right? When you're building a team, everyone has to know exactly where they fit in. And everyone and it's not about who gets the credit for the win, because we all contributed. You know, if you're in it because you want your name on the marquee, or you're the one that always wants to do the interview, I think that's a partnership that's not necessarily going to last. I think real partnerships and businesses and things like that are all built on humility, and you know, everyone not having an ego, because your ego is the first thing that's going to get in your way if you're trying to be prosperous with other people. So.
That's so rich.
That was just what I found out over time.
Well, let me just
on behalf of ego. People,
yeah, exactly. On behalf of people that don't play sports or that would hear that story, please don't shy away from sharing sports-based stories, because you've got the winning profile and what you demonstrated excellence at. You know, these things work, and so you know, I think for me. And for others, you know, the analogies are so helpful, because they allow us to kind of step outside of the things that feel like they might be easier said than done. So, you know, I, for one, really appreciate the opportunity to be able to have this, you know, kind of personal account of the things, and I love the character in them and how much they just, it's like they put a megaphone on the things that are built into the core of the character that you have, and how they've just kind of provided for, you know, you being able to connect for, you know, all of the endeavors that you've been that you've been on. So yeah, John, you brought a good one to the show this time. Thank you. You get a check mark for today. Thank you so much.
He continues to do great things.
Sometimes I think I have ADD. You know, and I'm like, well, I need to stay focused. You know, but you know that's one. I think that's one of my shortcomings, is I want to help a lot of people. And oftentimes I find myself not being able to help a lot of people. And so, but then this goes back to your network. If you know someone, and I have no problem introducing anyone to any of my contacts, but oftentimes I've found that some people are really protective over some of their resources. But
right,
bottom
that's so
line
sad.
Is,
yeah.
Yeah, and, but the bottom line is, I mean, I'm no one without you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
It's like Jay-Z. Jay-Z became who he is because we bought his records.
Right.
And so
right.
there's
right.
no way that he can look down upon those who brought him up. And I think if we all support each other, then we're gonna be okay.
That's awesome.
Right.
That is awesome.
That is great. My big brother, mentor, Ryan Rice, so thankful that you were able to stop by today to the show and really gave some good advice. Preparation, I hear that word. Having a broad vision versus a singular vision. And you got to do some things to help yourself. Learning and being able to position yourself and surrounding yourself with people that are smarter than you and have already been where you're trying to go. Those were
right.
great words, Ryan.
That is great. That is great. Well, John, you want to take us home?
Absolutely. So we had another exciting episode on today's show, and stay tuned for our next show where we'll continue to have great guests all about connecting, people's connecting in a contact sport. So stay tuned for the next show. We look forward to you joining our call and listening and getting some great insight on how you can connect, build your network and your alliances.
Outstanding.
See you
outstanding.
Next week.
And
thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Up to Me Radio is the proud host of the Hear My Heart Women of Faith Conference. We'd like to invite you, our listeners, to join us at our upcoming Hear My Heart Women of Faith Conference from October 9th through 11th here in Atlanta. There's something for everyone. Entertainment, industry panels, business tips, awards luncheon, an evening gala, and so much more. You'll have an opportunity to meet with me and each of the other show hosts in person. Take pictures, get autographs, be encouraged. For additional details and to purchase your ticket, please visit www.hearmyheartconference.com. That's www.hearmyheartconference.com. We hope to see you there. Take care.